Chapel Service, January 15th, 1985. Dr. Cliff Jones.
He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Would you stand with me for the invocation? Lord, on this special day, we pause before your throne. We thank you because you still dwell among us, and your spirit yet draws us unto you. We invoke your presence among us as we celebrate the work you have wrought in this country through the person of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Grant that we as a people would be reminded that you require of us all that we practice justice, kindness, and walk humbly before you. In this hour of reflection, may we remember Jesus the Christ, who championed the cause of all humankind and died that we may experience life more abundantly. In this worship experience, make us aware of your presence and the reality that worship is possible because wherever two or three assemble themselves, touching anything in your name, you are present. Remind us, O God, not only are you present in our formal worship, but even in our everyday activities as we interact one with another. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Amen.
Let us observe the reading of God's word from the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, verses 16 through 23. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. For what we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country.'" Good morning. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker for this morning. He is Dr. Clifford Anthony Jones from Friendship Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Jones is a graduate of Southeastern, receiving both the Master of Divinity degrees and the Master of Theology. He pursued further his education, doing a Doctor of Ministry program at Boston School of Theology, and has done postdoctoral work at Babcock School of Management and Regent Park College at Oxford University. Dr. Jones serves on various committees in both religious and community organizations. His calling, first and foremost, however, is that of preacher. And from my experience with him, I've come to find that his greatest joy is to proclaim God's word to God's people. With no further ado, I give you Dr. Jones. Thank you.
Great. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord and our Savior. To Ms. McCullough, who works for me, to all of you, it is good for us to be together this morning. It's been a good while since I've been here as a student, and I felt very much at home when I drove on campus and saw the black Studebaker from Durham part. I knew that I was in the right place. Luke has taken us on a journey, and he has taken us from the time of temptation and confrontation, and was meticulous in describing that confrontation and those moments of temptation with our Lord. Then in just a couple of moments, he wrote how the Lord was empowered. Confrontation, temptation, empowerment. Then after the empowerment, we find in our context this one who has conquered temptation for the moment. This one who confronted temptation on its own turf. The one who was empowered. Now reading his own epitaph, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Task-oriented. We find that as we live and move, that each of us in our various callings will have our confrontations. We will struggle with our moments of temptation. But yet there ought to be those moments of nuptial joy when we are empowered by God's Spirit to do his will and to do his work among his people. As we notice the text in verse 18 from the context of Luke, we find that this task was not a task to be done or confined to the walls of academia, nor was the task confined to preachments and singing and testimonies in and among stained glass windows. But the task was carried out on a daily experiential level with God so directing his messenger, empowering that messenger to do his will in the community. I think one of the things that I remember most about being a student here was our orientation class. I think it was 102, I forget. And one of the things that we struggled with most was the call. How does one know whether he or she has not been called, and to what service has that individual been called to do? I find some years later that it is essential for each person to know his or her calling and to know without equivocation that God, in his own way and time, has called you, us, to a task. And if and as God will call one to a task, he will empower that one to do that task without fear and without reservations. We are called to do our Father's will. I'm reminded of a story by Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist, and it seems that Viktor Frankl, after the invasion of Austria by the Hitler regime, was very much concerned about his elderly parents in Vienna. And he was torn between leaving his elderly parents, which meant sure death, and pursuing his own career or staying with his parents. And Frankel said before he would move, he had to have, quote, a hint from heaven. And he said for days he was waiting for that hint from heaven. And one day as he was in the living room, his elderly father was sitting in his favorite chair. And he noticed that on the table there was a piece of a scroll, a rock, if you please. And he said, "Father, what is the significance of this relic?" He said, "My son, when the synagogue was destroyed, the only remnant that I could keep and could find was this rock." And he said, "But there is a Hebrew letter on the rock, and what is the significance?" He said, "My son, I can tell you the significance from that one letter." He said, "It says to honor thy father and thy mother." Frankel said, "That was my hint from heaven. In pursuing your calling, make sure that you have had that hint from heaven." Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, in one of his works, Either Or, wrestles with that whole problem of our calling and who we are as individuals. He said, either we must accept God and God's calling and choosing for our lives, or we must be guided by our own whim or secular society. In your life, find that calling and do our Father's will. God has always, in his own way, called persons for certain tasks at certain times in history. It seems like he can call the most unlikely characters to do his will. You will recall one Moses. Moses complained because he had a stammering tongue. But in spite of Moses, God called him to do his will. Who was any bigger trickster than Jacob? But in spite of Jacob's tricks, and in spite of Jacob robbing his father-in-law, in spite of all of that, God called Jacob. He called Esther. He called the young lady named Mary to fulfill a task. As God has called then, God also calls now. And it is our task to know that calling and to do our Father's will. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for it has anointed me. It has anointed me for a task. Not to say that I am preacher, not merely to say that I have a title, not merely to be looked upon as a cleric, but it has anointed me to do my Father's will. Recall the words of Paul the Apostle when he said, "Know ye not that ye are not your own, but you have been bought with a price." We have been bought with the price of the blood of our Lord Jesus the Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for it has anointed me. Martin Luther King, a preacher's kid from Georgia. But God called Martin Luther King Jr. for a task. One thing that I think I need to remind you of, whenever one will dare to accept the calling of God, you are in for a rough journey. It is not the most pleasant task. It is not a glory hunt. But it is a task sometimes that requires one to work in the trenches. It requires one to say even that which is not popular. It requires one to stand upon the rock and say, "Upon this rock I shall stand." And you stand with the assurance of knowing that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the truth of God. Martin Luther King had that calling, and his calling was to alert this country to justice, to alert us to our duties and our responsibilities as Christians working for and in the body of Christ. We need to hear very clearly Alan Bosack and Bishop Desmond Tutu as they speak about the situation of apartheid in South Africa. You will recall that Bishop Tutu and Alan Bosack have said that the major problem of apartheid is a problem of theology. that the Dutch Reformed Church has failed to preach the truth of the Angelos, of the gospel. It has failed to preach the brotherhood of mankind, the sisterhood of all persons, and the fatherhood of God. They said the problem is not a problem of divestments or economics, but it is a problem of theology, because the Dutch Reformed Church has refused to preach that which the word tells us. Martin Luther King dared to stand and preach God's word, and his life was short. But to be true to our calling as preachers and as directors of Christian education and in the other fields of ministry, we must remember that our first calling to be true to the kingdom of God is to do our Lord's will. My contention is that it is much easier, and I want to take the liberty of a homiletician this morning, it is a lot easier to follow a Jesus than it is to serve the Christ. It is a lot easier to wrestle with the historical Christ in the library from the Schweitzer position than it is to follow the Christ. It is a lot easier to disagree with the Bultmann on his demythologizing of a Jesus than it is to follow a Christ. It is a lot easier to tell Christmas stories about the baby Jesus laying in a manger than it is to follow the Christ. You will recall, to follow the Christ requires a price. When the Christ truly became the Christ and lived in this life, you will recall that the Christ had to endure persecution. Recall him at the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying. The Christ had friends, but the friends were asleep. But the Christ prayed anyhow. You will recall the Christ had to stand in a Pilate's hall. The Christ was crucified. I tell you, to follow the Christ is a difficult task. But if we follow him, he is more than able to deliver us. To follow the Christ means to be crucified and even to die. But to die for Christ is gain. If we die in him, we shall live with him. The church hymn says it adequately. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you will be true to your calling and live up to the image by which we are called in Christ Jesus, we must live, we must serve, we must be willing to confront, and we must even be willing to die. The word says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen. Now may the peace and the power and the love go with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.